Get ready to hear about a powerful program that rises far beyond the practice of running. This program is all about girls, teaching them life lessons, developing and improving their physical, social, and emotional competence, and inspiring them to recognize the power they hold. This is what is at the heart of Girls on the Run program, teaching young girls how to define who they are, how to make a difference in the lives of others, and how to confidently stand up for what they believe in as they walk their own paths. Who could not love that? To be leaders in their own lives. This show is about impact. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and we're going to get down to earth and learn more about this important and impactful program. Thank you for joining us and for being a part of our world. Before we get into the show, I would like to do a shout out to the sponsor of this show today, Tucson Medical Center, and boy, do they deserve it. Who better to be sponsoring this show than TMC, and I sincerely mean that. They are at the heart of so many programs and initiatives that address a myriad of needs in our community. Since 1944, members of our community have counted on TMC to be here for them when they are at their most vulnerable. They have been entrusted with this legacy, and they continue the tradition of providing the people of Southern Arizona exceptional health care with compassion and so much more every single day. Girls on the Run is yet another example of their commitment to a healthy and vibrant community centered around wellness. We appreciate their support and the great work they do. I can certainly tell you that. Now, please join me in welcoming our guests for this next minutes, however long it takes, Sylvia Brown, Program Coordinator for Girls on the Run at TMC, and Elizabeth Bitsy Weintraub, Head Coach, Girls on the Run, Wright Elementary School. Thank you both for being here.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Good morning. Thank you.
I enjoyed the pre-conversation about as much as I think I'm going to enjoy the show. So it really is great to have you both here. And I'm excited about this program for many reasons. Kelly King, who's our show producer, her daughter participated in it. And it was exceptional and outstanding. And I was out of town when they had the final thing at the Electric Park. But anyway, I've got some personal experience here. So tell us, the best place to start is, what is Girls on the Run? Is a program that started in Tucson, is a part of a bigger program. So what do you want to tell us?
Well, definitely it's part of a bigger program. Girls on the Run was founded in North Carolina by a woman by the name of Molly Barker. The exact year, I can't remember.
Okay. We'll forget
but,
anyway.
So it's an international program, and it's a positive youth development program for third through eighth grade girls. And basically what we do is we train coaches to teach a curriculum of positive life skills that embodies and integrates running games into each lesson. So as the season progresses, the girls become mentally and physically ready to run a 5K.
Which is a big deal. And I was telling you off air, I mean, I bring my personal life because I am Mrs. Green into this arena, but doing Orange Theory, and that my, you know, they have a coach for each class, and her commenting on my jogging today on the treadmill, and I am not a girl, but I am a woman that appreciated that feedback. So it never leaves you that you accomplish something. I was a power walker, but now I've graduated. So it builds confidence, even at my age. It was so appropriate to me that we were doing this show today and I had that experience this morning.
Right.
Now, is the heart and soul curriculum different? How do you delineate? Is there a Girls on the Run curriculum?
Yes.
Or is it, and then heart and soul. So tell me about the heart and soul, S-O-L-E. How clever is that?
Right, isn't it?
Love it.
That's a great play on words. So yeah, definitely. When we speak of Girls on the Run, it really embodies both Girls on the Run, the elementary curriculum, and heart and soul, the middle school. So both curriculums are developed and geared to the appropriate age group so that the lessons and everything that it features throughout the curriculum, which Bitsy can tell you more about it because she's a coach and she's a lot more seasoned, definitely, than I am, being the program coordinator. So when you're hands-on and teaching these lessons, you'll know what the difference is between the Girls on the Run elementary and heart and soul, the middle school.
Yeah, there's a whole emotional intelligence and developmental pieces of it that I thought was I was very impressed by. So, Bitsy, you know, you talk about a curriculum, and I really want to know a little bit more, or a lot more actually, about what do you mean by a curriculum? It's not just about girls running after school.
Right. It's very, very carefully thought out, and it's always been readjusted. I've taught both the elementary Girls on the Run curriculum and the middle school Heart and Soul curriculum. And while there are similarities in how each lesson builds, giving girls confidence, seeing the world where they can make choices, they can become sort of directing their own path through life, through how they decide and how they manage their own decisions, they do need to do more than just run. We ask, there's actually a workbook. Each lesson over 20 lessons builds. I'm wearing today a Girls on the Run shirt.
I know, and I'm really jealous, but I didn't earn one, so it's okay.
You will.
You'll earn one. But it's on the back, I have some enrichment things I did for a gossip session. So there's a each lesson has a theme or something that they're trying to teach the girls. And so we start with things like connectedness and choices and work through bullying, commitment to community. So it's really gives the girls a bigger, broader view. And we let them know that they're not alone, that there are, you know, 25 schools in the Tucson area doing this. That
31 now.
31 now.
31 and growing. Love it.
And that every state in the U.S. has it, and it's international, so that they have millions of girls that have done this program, and they're joining this larger community of very capable, confident, and, you know, future leaders.
So I didn't think to put this in my notes, but it did pop in. Just in. if a girl does the Heart and Soul curriculum, can you do both? Can you run in third and fourth grade and then do part of it in sixth and seventh grade? Or is it a one-time opportunity?
Oh, no, absolutely they can do both. The goal here with us, and really with Girls on the Run, they could, if they start in middle school for the first time, that's fine. But our goal is to start them in the third grade. So they get curriculum one, two, and three. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth
grade.
Get them
early.
And then really building and making that contact with the feeder schools. Once they move out of their elementary school and into their feeder middle school, that is the school that we are really trying to target to continue the program as Heart and Soul. So we have these veteran girls that are going through and have been through the three curriculums for the elementary age and have moved on to the middle school curriculum. And we even have, I have girls that are in high school that are coming back as junior coaches because they loved it so much. They want to come back into their feeder schools and be junior coaches and mentors.
You know, we don't have to get into this a lot, but this is what I know because I had a 35-year background in social services and working with at-risk children and families. The impact of programs like this in terms of attendance and school grades and even parental participation, there's so many bonuses.
Yeah. That's huge. I love it when the parents see their daughters in a whole new way.
When as I go to athletes.
Those, and as competent people that are leading their family to a healthier road. I have had girls come back to me at the 5Ks that, you know, their little sisters are participating. They introduce me to a significant other. Their parents are still there. I recognize them. They're thrilled. I mean, it's just...
It's a ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is.
I was curious. I mean, there are, I know here, I mean, I just want to talk to you guys about all this, but there's the five C's: confidence, competence, caring, connection, and character plus contribution. So I want to hear about the contribution part because I think that is wonderful that you're teaching girls at a very young age not just to take and grow and learn, but to give back. So do either one of you want to comment on that or both?
Well actually, we both can. The community impact project, which is starts getting introduced into the curriculum early, in the early stages of the curriculum, they start talking about it so that the team and the schools can prepare to do something that's going to give back. They're gaining from the program. They're going to give back. And there's a couple of ways that we've done it, actually. There is a list of things, or the coach and the team can come up with a community impact project on what do they want to do to give back to their community. And it could be something minor, something that they do within their school. I mean, these are little girls, young girls, so it's not something they're going to do huge. Or, you know, we've actually introduced a community organization that is in need of support, like PAC, Pima Animal Care Center. And we had a very huge, huge turnout and of giving for PAC when
so
we introduced
that. So awesome to teach girls then. And I have another example. It's touched my life. I have a green team at Chapman, and there's a woman I love on it. I like them, all of them, but Dom, she has two daughters, and her daughter's group for Girls on the Run made these adorable little puppets made out of socks.
Oh my gosh.
And they gave them to the children's clinics for kids that have multiple disabilities. They were adorable.
Right, that's
so
amazing.
And she knows about the children's clinic. So it is about giving, and it feels so good to be a giver, and you're teaching the girls how good that feels at a young age.
It's amazing. And you've introduced community.
Yes, we have, absolutely. And the girls sometimes choose something that they just see immediately around them, and other times, like when the PACC was suggested, they embraced it. They did a blanket drive. They made posters in their school. We had a huge stack of things that we took to the event.
And the all of those dogs need blankets in their kennels. Mm-hmm, I mean,
yeah.
It's stuff you don't even think about.
No, their community, you know, did a lovely job, and we have.
And I love the process that you talk about. You said the girls made up their mind. It's not like you're coming in and saying, oh, well, we adopted PACC. The girls come
right
with ideas and pick the program. I love that.
And even the residual impact of that turned out to be an adoption. So not only did we give back, that we also had pet adoption at our 5K event.
That's yes. Really great.
And my assistant coach adopted a lovely little dog named Doug.
It's really.
It turned out. I mean, it was a really
great. She might
great
not be able to go next year because that's what happened.
It was a great turnout.
We have adoption events at Chapman, and boy, some of the staff are like, they're not allowed on campus because they've brought home two or three dogs over the years. So it's a dangerous thing to do.
Right. We warned the parents, you might go home with a pet. They're like, what? You know, we're going to have adoption.
It's more than I bargained for.
So yeah, it was a huge deal for us and for PAC.
It's all win. It's
all
a win.
Absolutely.
I zeroed in a little bit on the emotional competence. Can you give us an example, Betsy, about what kind of things do you teach about caring? And the longer question is, there are so many still mean girls.
Mm-hmm.
There
Absolutely.
Are mean girls.
So many.
And this, to me, instead of calling this an anti-bullying campaign, it's all about positives and giving kids skills and competencies that mm-hmm. will help them be in that arena and do the right thing. So how do you, what can you give an example of what you do? Because you are familiar with it.
Yes. I mean, there are several parts of the curriculum that address this. But really having the girls stop and think before they speak, giving them tools on to how to speak positively, letting them know what, you know, being a friend looks like, letting them know what being mean looks like, how they can take in a situation and maybe turn it around. I had in my early coaching time a girl who came in, and she had a really hard time telling the truth. I mean, it was really, really hard for her. She's just made stuff up and
right.
things would happen.
And there's always reasons for that.
She was with me for several seasons, and then another girl came in that didn't attend as regularly and so didn't quite have the program down. And we were at the practice 5K at our school, and we were going through and market. We had a big board where you could put a sticker on a mark off your laps to get all the way through. And she was running with this newer girl, and she noticed that the other girl was putting on extra stickers, was being false about it. And the look on her face as she saw that and understood that, wow. And then she came to me and said, this girl is, you know, she's going to be done before I am. We were running together. We said, don't worry. I'm glad you saw this. This is her choice. Now you're seeing that this is something that's hurting her. And we're not going to let it hurt you. We're going to run with you till you're done.
But what a powerful
it was
way
a moment
to teach.
When,
yes,
when I
it's
saw
a
that was incredible.
Have it working.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know, competition is good. Mm-hmm. You know, it is good.
Yeah.
How do you handle that? Because that can turn mean.
Absolutely.
And winning is the be-all and end-all from the carefully thought-out curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly,
right.
Winning is not everything.
The
but
language
how do you address
is important.
It? Yeah.
So we address it by, like, when I say the end of the season 5K, I don't say the race. I say the run. I say it's not timed.
Got it. Right.
So we're very, you know, we're saying, and the program is we're all moving forward. We're doing what each of us needs to do to get through this. We talked about connection, encouragement, and there's some girls that want to go out there and they just want to, they're thinking their best is they want to win. And we let
that's
them.
Okay too. We,
yeah, that is
no,
okay.
We, no, it's
really,
fine.
There's nothing
we
wrong
just
with
say,
wanting to
we're
win.
We're going to get you the fastest running buddy you can because you have to be with somebody. And so we'll train to make sure we go as fast as you go. And we have those girls. And we have girls that, you know, we're going to be the last one in. We're walking. We're running and walking. And that's okay too. We celebrate each one. And we make it that when we do something called an energy award, we reward behavior in each session that is not about being the best. It's about something growth, something to do the lesson. So we show them that rewards come from what you're trying to do to change yourself, not from just running more laps than another girl.
And that is, you know, it's like being kind to yourself and being kind to others. Because I did a half marathon and the operative word here is because I finished that line. I went through that finish line. I'm like, done that, been there, done that. And if a friend of mine didn't spot me and see me with the last 3 miles, I would have quit.
Yeah.
And she talked me through it. So someone got to her very early, and I see her all the time, and I say, Nancy, you know that you're the reason I finished the half marathon, right? Because I wanted to, like, you know, get hit by a truck or something. I'm barely kidding.
No, it's like, take me now.
The last 3 minutes, 3 miles, I just was...
They're tough.
They're tough. Mm-hmm. I felt like my feet were burning. Mm-hmm. So did you want to add something?
Well, yeah, I did. And that's one of the things that we embody and incorporate Girls on the Run and Girls on Track into the program is that every girl has to have a run buddy for the 5K.
Love it.
And and the run buddy could be a parent, a guardian, anybody that's 16 years old or older, if the family brings them in. And many of the families don't, you know, they feel like, oh, I'm not an athlete, I'm not a runner. So I start telling them early, this is a non-competitive program. It's a non-competitive run. Every girl has a number one bib, so there's no number. So whoever comes
You're
in, whatever,
kidding.
Every girl wears a number
I
one
I love everything about it.
Bib.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
And every run buddy wears a number two bib. So if it's the parent and the parent says, well, you know, I'm not a runner, well, it doesn't matter. You know, you pace yourself and it's just a goal. And that is what is distributed throughout the curriculum. Pace yourself. Go at your own pace.
Right. And keep going.
Set your goals.
And finish.
And finish.
Yes.
Finishing
oh
is the key, not who gets there first.
Yeah. I love it.
We
and
all
everybody has a number one.
Mm-hmm.
That just
and we celebrate the first girl through just as excitedly as we do the last one that comes through.
That's
and
awesome. And you like it. But I'm telling you like those people there cheering.
We do. And we
it
do.
It gives
that.
You life.
I love seeing each of the girls go through and come through the finish. On our practice 5K, we make a little practice finish line, and I take a picture of each of them as they come across for their practice.
Great feeling,
and I show
success.
Them that, and
yes.
I said, "Look at that moment. How did you feel?" And they really get to say, "Okay, this is something I can do," and I hope they just carry that forward.
So, Bitsy, it exudes from you the passion, the commitment. You're doing it. I'm sure you're like Coach of the Year, and I say that with really love and kindness, and I'm sincere because you can feel it where you are with it. So I want to know about who teaches the curriculum. I mean, let's talk a little bit about, it's a long question, so I'll just start with that. How do you recruit volunteers? That's the best question, and what does it take to be a volunteer? Because it's mostly volunteers that are in the schools, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's always a difficult road internationally. Those are things that we talk about. Girls on the Run International has a lot of support tools, and we have a group chat on Podio, and just where we shoot ideas off with each other. So recruiting coaches initially started with just Tucson Medical Center. We had three schools in, 45 girls in the very first season, and
now you have 31.
31, and yeah, definitely, and probably over 500 girls at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, getting a volunteer to teach this curriculum for three schools was easy, but then as we started to grow, I made it a mandatory thing. If you want this program in your school, you must provide at least two coaches. And we will do what we can to support. So I send out a call for coaches, advertise it, get with the schools that need that coach support, and do place coaches where needed. Like Bitsy, she's a community volunteer. She is not a teacher, but the coaches are teachers, they're parents, they're community members that have the interest and are willing to support and really support dedicatedly. She comes back season after season, and really, Bitsy is the best. But that is how we do it. It's just all word of mouth. And then once you get a coach or a volunteer that come in one season, I'm like, oh my God, I loved it. Can I bring my friend to next season? Yes.
So it grows.
So we go through a process.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, recruit friends. Yeah. They see you coming. I'm like, Bitsy, I'm not doing that this year.
I know. But at least buy shoes for the girls then if you can't come in.
How rewarding.
Yeah, definitely. We go through a recruitment process. We background check every single volunteer, even if they're school staff. They have to be background checked through the Girls on the Run program. And get their applications approved, get that background check in place, and assign them to their school.
And so to me, there's no doubt about it. If TMC is involved and you're doing it, you're going to vet the people. We don't have to go into details about that. I have total confidence because you're not going to put any of the TMC mission at risk. So I get that. What about, let's put that to rest, the season. What does the season look like? Is it a spring season? How do these kids run in this weather? What is it? When does it start? Like, what does it actually look like? It's a 10-week lesson plan.
Right.
So does it run a part of this of the end of the school year, or how does it work?
Well, we have a spring and a fall season. And the spring season starts in January. We start recruiting schools in late October, November, get the girls registered.
Got it.
So they start. We train our coaches at the first week of January, and boom, the season starts. And it runs through April, usually about mid-April. It depends on the school and school districts that come in. So that is how the season timelines are built.
And you can still be outside then.
Right. And yes. So we pick a 5K date and then build backwards and build the season timelines based off of the district calendars. So that's the spring. There's a break after April, and we start again in the fall. So August, September, start recruiting schools, get the girls registered. So by September, they're ready to start the program. And that's what we call the fall program, and it ends in December. Starts in September, ends in December. The good thing about that is when they start in fall, it's back-to-back with spring of the following year. So if these girls are coming in,
Can do it in the spring, too?
They can do it in the spring,
yes.
too.
It's really, really great to make it more like what I would call systemic, not a one-time thing.
Yep.
So I can't help it, Bitsy. I have to ask this of you guys because it's your fault. I'm just blaming your fault. Because you, and this is my social service, me, that in picking the schools, what about kids who can't afford shoes? That's an issue. I mean, all schools are not created equal. That's what I did my whole life. So there were the at-risk populations that wanted it just as much as everybody, but a new pair of sneakers, not happening. So how do you address that? And is that a fair question?
It's fair. Right now, I work at a school where, I mean, the program actually has costs involved with it. And so a lot of families will pay a certain amount to have their girls participate.
Right.
I come from a school that has a lot of like Section 8 housing, refugee population. Mm-hmm. So they're on scholarship, and there are people in the community with TMC and some other people that are basically doing scholarships. I also look at, initially when we first started the program, a major national donor did shoes for the kids. That has not continued. I feel very strongly about how I felt when I first got a pair of shoes when I was a runner in college and Title IX came along and women could get the same benefits.
Oh.
So somebody buying a pair of shoes for me was a huge vote of confidence. So I feel that the girls getting shoes is a big, in my mind, a big vote of confidence. So I get shoe sponsors and scrounge sales, and people give me lightly used shoes that have little feet. And so I try to make sure that any girl that needs a pair of running shoes for the season gets one.
So it's
amazing.
It is. It is amazing. Volunteer of the year.
Can't help it.
There's a reason that she got picked. So, I lost my train of thought here. And it is an after-school program. That's kind of obvious. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was very intrigued by the whole, like, the transformative changes. You talked about that little girl who saw the impact of lying, not by anything that you did, even though you planted seeds, but by seeing how it impacted her when lying was impacting her outcome. Mm-hmm. Do you have any, I love to hear stories. Do you can you see the girls transform? Because I'm not a runner, and program like that would have helped me. I'm not a runner. I am the always, I'm a fast walker. So hiking downhill, I'm usually first or second or third one in. Uphill, next to last, if not last. So do you have stories? I'm sure you've seen some. Just share one or two.
I mean, there's
either one of you.
There's simple ones, like I had a girl recently who she knew that she would get tired easily, and she came in, you know, the emotional and you know, confidence part for many things was already there. She could have taught the course. But she was saying, oh, I'm, you know, last season I had to walk, you know, almost all of my practice 5K. This time I ran half of it. And she was making a physical change and was, you know, able to communicate that. I've had other girls, and I actually get girls that repeat, you know, third, fourth, fifth. I have pairs of sisters, and I have
love it.
I love it when one of the sisters has a goal that has to do with her sister, and to see her work and try to achieve that in her relationship with her family and her place there. And I had one older sister that she wasn't a strong runner, but and she was had some concerns about how she fit in the world. And when I first talked to her and we were starting to express ourselves, she would take her arms and put them inside her shirt, and like just you could just see her just like drawing around to try to protect herself. Wow. By the end, she was saying, I realized I was being a bully and that I am now changing my behavior. And she would still come back, because her younger sister in the program, and she would come back from middle school and say hello to me and tell me how she was doing. And it was just, you know, remarkable.
So how do you fit it into your schedule, Betsy?
Oh, it's
seriously.
I am really, really lucky that I have a schedule where I work 3 days a week. And the other 2 days are the Tuesday, Thursday afternoons for an after-school program. And so...
And you work, but aren't you a veterinarian?
I'm a veterinarian.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, you got a big job. So those 3 days a week.
And I'm really... I mean, this came along at a time when my children were grown. And, you know, I was always volunteering, like as a soccer coach or a softball coach, or, you know, when they were little teenies. So I had coaching experience. I love running. I saw the program when I was helping with a half marathon that had as part of it the first season of Girls on the Run. They were all in their little pink shirts, and there were 40 of them out there. And I'm on my bicycle, you know, coming back from the other event, and I see this, and I'm like, where and how do I sign up? I'm like, this is my wheelhouse. I have to be part of this.
How great. It is impactful.
Impactful. It's really
when
impactful.
I saw those girls out there, I'm just like, it just gave me chills.
Yeah, it's giving me chills hearing about it.
It is. I mean, the first time you see, the first time I experienced the first girls around in the season 5K, it was...
I have to see it.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I saw. It was pretty amazing.
And the community comes together. I grabbed a bunch of friends to volunteer at one of the 5Ks, and they were at the water stations, and then the fire people came and sprayed the girls with hoses, and it was just fantastic.
It's all good. It's all good. And Sylvia, I don't want to gloss over it, because your job is to... you know, schools, you went from 3 to 31.
She makes this happen. I mean, she gets the fire company
to come. Let's put the spotlight on you, because there's a lot of moving parts.
All this stuff happens, yeah.
Yes, I mean, the volunteers are critical, but there has to be the hub of the wheel.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a hub for sure. Yeah, there are a lot of moving parts, and it's kind of like retail. You're always working a season ahead.
Right.
Right now, I'm working for spring 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are a lot of moving parts, because there are the parts that Girls on the Run International puts down on us, and that we have to, the policies, the procedures, the contract.
And reporting.
And reporting.
Sure, to keep
Lots of reporting.
Lots of keeping records.
Keeping track
and
of documenting. Documenting the scholarships, documenting the registrants, the volunteers, everything, all the background, everything that all the moving parts that are put into place. And then the parts of recruiting the schools.
And then training.
And training.
That's a big, heavy lift, the training piece.
Yes. We just trained 104 coaches. The beginning of the month, and that includes CPR training also as well. Every head coach has to be CPR trained, and then all the other coaches are plus trained in teaching and rolling out the curriculum.
So. Right. So they're trained, and then you're there to help them with support if they need it. Yeah. And it's a big job.
And every little bit. I mean, and you said the many moving parts. You know, ordering the curriculums, the pieces, the parts, the game pieces, pens. markers, pencils, I mean, poster board, every little thing that goes into a coach box.
Gosh,
we provide everything that the curriculum asks for, all the materials we provide. If it's a balloon, if it's a roll of tape, whatever it is, we read the materials list, order all the parts enough for 500 girls.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And build coach boxes. It's a process.
You know, I love to put a spotlight on TEP. Tucson Medical Center, I feel that they're great partners for Mrs. Green's world. They help support our work.
Right.
And I really love to highlight it. Why do you think this program is so important to them? And I know it is because I've heard it out of Julia Strange's mouth.
Right.
It's a very important program for them for all the right reasons. Why do you two think it's important to them?
I think it's important to them because it's a huge, this kind of youth development program that has repercussions well into the future.
Yes.
I mean, these girls are going to be more likely to finish school. They're more likely to have a healthier lifestyle rather than having situations where they get under bad influences. And hopefully they will come into the community and impact the next generation.
Mm-hmm. And they support wellness.
Right. Mm-hmm. We are a community hospital. TMC is a community hospital, nonprofit community hospital. And the programs that we do, myself as a community outreach specialist / program coordinator for Girls on the Run, we're out in the community doing other things besides Girls on the Run, but embodying the Girls on the Run program and everything else that we sponsor and support for our community come into the events that we have presence at.
Right.
So, you know, giving back to the community is...
They support wellness. They want to keep people out of the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really, they do really want to keep all their programs. There's just pages and pages when you go to their website about wellness programs.
And thank God for Julia Strange for bringing this program to Tucson.
She's a rock star. Don't tell her I said so. Okay. This was a great interview, and I loved it, and I love what you're doing, and I appreciate it, and I know the importance. And my last comment is, Mrs. Green's World is all about creating awareness about the biggest challenge our world has ever faced, climate change. So relative to this show, in the New York Times best-selling book, Project Drawdown, which highlights solutions to climate change already in place, one of the top four solutions, and this was years of research, one of the top four solutions named in the book as a solution to climate change is the education of women and girls. And what you're doing nailed it. I mean, it's just to me, it's programs like Girls on the Run that give girls an opportunity to find the champions inside of each of them through an evidence-based program that provides those who participate confidence, competence, caring, connection, and character, and teaches them about the importance of contribution. There's just no downside. And thank you, TMC, for your commitment. And thank you both for coming so that I could get to experience your passion and enthusiasm. And I'm really excited about this program. Okay, everybody, we've got two more great shows coming up next week. Dr. Larry Lincoln from TMC. He's on our national show, Reclaiming Banished Voices, A Case for Compassion, and it is an outstanding show. And September 27th with Tim Tamur, who's the director of Tucson Water, the innovators. So it's about our quality of life and about... Larry Lincoln is another one of my heroes because it's about compassion with yourself starting it. So it's related to, you know, climate change is an inside job, so is this. So thank you both so much for what you do and for being here today.
Thank you for having
us. Our pleasure.
It was our pleasure, definitely.
This was really lovely. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.